was a moment that I thought I had postpartum depression again.
I was just beside myself. I could not stop bawling. I was so scared. It was just like everything happening all at the same time.
I'm like, okay, we're calling the midwife. We were struggling a little bit with his startup, and he is now since funded, which is amazing.
Low ferritin is associated with postpartum depression and mastitis, two things that I struggle with.
So yeah, that's sort of, I've had like really high highs and really low lows the last few weeks.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I am your co-host, Dr. Morgan McDermott, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Leah and I share our natural women's health and motherhood guidance that you've been looking for through our fresh, functional, and balanced lens. And today is a big life update episode again, where we're just talking about our personal lives as mothers and working doctors trying to figure out everything and what is our, you know, unique personal sort of challenge or win that's happening in our lives. I'm recording this at 32 weeks pregnant, and so there's a lot of that for me in my experience. It's also like just a lot of, it's been a tidal wave. No, it's been a rip current. I decided to call it a rip current of, in my personal life, things going on. But the baby and I are fine health-wise. It's like, that's all good. And then with Leah, she's talking about how she's leveling up into this vision of herself that she's wanted and how it's taking a long time, but there are all these other pieces that are falling into place. But then specifically also the challenge of being a working mom and sometimes not really seeing the fruits of your labor. It's something that I definitely also can relate to. And then she's also specifically talking about being a fertility doctor and the just sort of how it can wear on you and your heart, because she's such a caring person. So anyway, have a listen and you're going to get really all the nitty gritty details of how it works for us in our lives. Maybe it's not that interesting to you, but we love, you know, just being able to share anything. So let's go ahead and dive in. Hi, everybody. We're back with a life update episode, which we just continually get feedback that you guys love. So here we go. I mean, it is nice and fun to just like talk about our lives. Yeah. But, and maybe it's a nice break from the heavy medical content as well. Or it just sounds like you're sitting in a living room with two friends, whatever it is that gets all of the feedback of why you guys like it. Here we are today and we're going to do a little, you know, what's been going on in our lives for each of us, starting with Leah first. And I mean, take it away. Let's go. I mean, it feels like it's mostly positive this time. I mean, well, there's definitely some struggles.
It's like life, right? There's good and there's struggle. But yeah, I had one of my sister-in-law last time we did the life update. She's like, I love these episodes because I feel like I got to find out everything about you without having a phone call. And it's so funny because she's like, everyone would have learned about that in one time versus having to call everybody and tell them everything. She's like, we should all be doing this, like just record our life update every quarter and send it to everybody.
Actually, that would be a good like record of your life. Could you imagine? Wes is kind of obsessed with that idea. He's always like, we should be just like randomly taking intakes or, you know, yeah, kind of doing that, honestly, doing like a big like quarter review and then storing them away for the kids to listen to at some point in the future if they ever want to.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. I wish I would have done that more along our infertility journey, because looking back, I just wish that we would have recorded the experience that we were in. There were so many hard, really hard seasons. But once you pass through a hard season and you kind of healed the wounds and all the stuff, when you look back, you're like, it wasn't that bad. But like it was in the middle of it. And you know, I just, especially for if I ever write a book one day or want to share that story, I wish I had written it down or recorded it, would have been even better. I mean, when I recorded Avia doing a little podcast the other day, that's kind of my intention with that, of capturing her at these like really cute seasons. But I wish we would have done that previously. So if you're young and on the early stage of your life, start doing quarterly updates. I think it's great.
Yeah, because you also, just really quick, one thing I want to say is like, you think you're going to remember. And I've had that experience so many times where I'm like, there's no way I'll ever forget this. There's just no way, because it's like so big, so intense, so hard, such a struggle, whatever. Da, da, da. It's like, but as time goes on, like you said, because if you heal some of that, it does just feel differently. I mean, that's the whole point of healing it, right? So it's not so open and raw. It's a good sign, I guess, in a way, but then you're not able to like tap back in though exactly the same way. And so if there was some purpose or reason that you wanted to be able to understand that, or even like, you know, Wes, for me, because it's postpartum is hard for me. He was telling me this recently. He's like, I'm going to interview you every single day postpartum, and I'm going to
Oh.
record you, like, just quickly. But you know, he's like, I'm going to
Yeah.
record what's happening. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? He's like, because he's told me to do it in the past with other babies, but I'm not like interested in doing that in that moment because I feel
Yeah.
so bad. I'm like, what would be the point of this? Like, da, da, da. Even if I, you know what I mean? Like, you get
Yeah.
angsty and you feel like, no, like, this is so messed up. Like, I'm not recording. Like, no. But he's like, I'm gonna force you. And it probably will be helpful because then I could tap back into, oh yeah, what is postpartum like? If for some people, not always, you know, like, I know you really thrive in postpartum. But it's like, that's another dynamic, is just not feeling like you want to do it in those moments. But truly, I mean, you can delete it later if you want to, but
Yeah.
if you don't have it, you never have it.
I wish I had done that along our infertility journey. I have almost zero footage of our infertility journey because I was never thinking, oh, here I am, so sad and depressed and crying my eyes out. I'm going to
Right.
record this.
Well, and it wasn't really that time. It wasn't really like
No.
as much, even just to share the openness of like how you felt about stuff. It kind of wasn't as like, not that it's a trend, but it's sort of more open and accepted now to be very vulnerable online and things. But it
But
was.
also, it's weird when you're going through a hard thing to be vulnerable in that moment. They always say
Yes.
not to share your open wounds, but to share your scars, you know, like once you've healed. But in order to share it from a visual perspective, you know, when I see videos of people where they have like the real raw footage, I'm like, in that moment, you were like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna record this so that I can share it later. That was never on my mind. I was just in the depths of the darkest places, and I would never be like, I need to record this.
I know, I'm kind of
Like,
like that
think
too.
about it, you know? Like, that wasn't even a thought process of mine, and I would have never wanted that to even be. But now I want it because I have scars now, right? Like, I would have
Yeah.
loved to share so that it could help other people and understand, you know, where we were and how we've come so far and all of these things. But in the moment, it's really hard, which kind of piggybacks to the first point of my life update, which is just some of the struggle I've been dealing with, not necessarily personally, but with my patients and members in my membership. Because when you work in fertility, it can be really heavy sometimes. It can be really amazing sometimes. And there's really high highs and really low lows. And I don't think a lot of people think about the complexity of being a fertility doctor because it's sort of like being a cancer doctor. It's slightly different, but you're dealing with life and death. And it's something that's sort of out of our control. There are things in our control for sure, but then the ultimate decision of whether something lives or doesn't or makes it or not, you know, is sort of out of our control, and you're doing the best that you can to make it happen. And then there's also the surrender piece, and I went through that with my own journey. But because I guide so many women along that journey, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of positives. A lot of my patients are pregnant. A lot of the members in my membership are becoming pregnant, but there's some that aren't. You know, there's some that have lost babies. There's some that are still not pregnant, and it's so heavy. So that has been weighing on me a little bit the last few weeks, and it's just hard. It's hard to have that emotional resilience over and over again because when it's, and I don't know if it hits me different because of my infertility journey, where I feel like I work harder than maybe is appropriate for like boundaries and things like that, because I just so desperately want the women in my circle to have a successful pregnancy and to become mothers. And so, you know, I think I bend over backwards a little bit more than I should for the health of my own self, because I want that for them so badly, because I know what it's like to be in their shoes, which I guess someone could argue would make me a good doctor, but at the same time, it also maybe isn't the healthiest for me and my own personal boundaries. And that's, yeah, it's just been heavier than I would have loved, because in my mind, there'll be like five people pregnant this week, and I hear one loss, and that's all I can focus on, you know? It's like that's all that there is there. The other five pregnancies, they don't register in the same way as like a loss or, you know, someone who's still trying to conceive and it hasn't happened. And like my empathy, my bleeding heart is just like, it's so much. So that was a lot this last few weeks for me, and kind of has made me reevaluate how I do want to show up in the world. I just love educating and sharing with women, but so much of my passion is on getting to the root of the root cause. And when I see a person in front of me they are an organism and an entity, and I could say, okay, what's going on with you and your health, and what's at the root of that, right? Whether it's a microbiome issue or a diet issue or autoimmunity or mental, emotional, whatever is going on at the root. But there's a root to the root, which for me, you know, you start to look at it from a societal and cultural perspective, because why is it that a woman is burned out at 36, working her ass off, not able to relax, and is stressed out of her mind, has autoimmune disease? Like, what is it about our culture? What is it about the situation that led her to that place in the first place? And how do we shift and change that, which is on a much bigger, larger scale upstream? And just a lot of my passion going there, because even though that person in front of me, you know, I can work on their root cause, I still feel like they're a berry on a tree. And I'm like trying to make that berry be as healthy as possible. But really, we just need to go back to the tree, back to the roots of the tree. And it's deeper than that, right? So it's been on my heart to like write a book or do something. I feel like we have to call out our society and the systems that are in play that are leading to this infertility epidemic and to this women's hormone imbalance epidemic that we're seeing, because it's not just the individual and their root causes that is the problem that needs to be fixed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're trying to do all of that. And then, you know, you do, and you do it the best that you can. Obviously there's going to be things that they can't change or won't change. But then even if they did, and this is, I know we talk about this a lot, but even if they did and they did everything perfectly, some are still just not going to get pregnant, or they're going to have losses. And I know you take that like so to heart, not personally, like because you think like you did something wrong, but like you're just so invested for them because you're such a good doctor and you have such a big heart, and it's really sweet and it's what makes you very special, but it is like it wears on you too. I don't know how other people do it. I feel like they have to keep some sort of distance, but then the humanity in that is a little bit lost potentially.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's a way to be as connected as you are to your patients and care as much as you do, and then somehow not be negatively affected if it doesn't go well.
It's almost impossible. You know, yeah. it's so impossible to be that close with somebody. So yeah, that's just been weighing on my heart a lot. But other than that, and just kind of that all sort of ties into, I've sort of had this like existential crisis of what is my purpose? What am I doing? You know, my whole situation is so interesting because I'm almost 10 years since I graduated. I've been a doctor for almost 10 years. And that whole 10 years was me trying to get pregnant, right? 6 years of infertility, and then the last 4.5 of being pregnant with my daughter, and, you know, having all of the issues with the sick pregnancies and the C-sections and the recovering. And it's just really interesting to run a business during all of that as a female. Struggling with infertility, doing all of the things, becoming pregnant, being sick, healing, postpartum, breastfeeding, and also run a business and a company through all of that, and also hold space for all of this, you know, heavier and also beautiful stuff. And I feel like I've just been kind of surviving, like keeping everything kind of afloat and just going. And when my husband, I think I mentioned this on a previous life update, we were struggling a little bit with his startup, and he is now since funded, which is amazing. And I'm just like, yeah, it was really huge. We're so excited. And we just went to Redmond, actually. You and I just went and visited the Redmond salt mines and got to hang out with them for a couple of days. And it was incredible. I'm obsessed with the Redmond company, everything that they do, their integrity, everything that they stand for. I'm just like obsessed, but even more so than just the products and the salt and all of the things that they do, the raw milk. I was so obsessed with their CEO, and like I just wanted to ask him all these questions about his philosophy on business, because they run their business very different and unique than anything I've ever seen. And one of the videos that they had us watch was about the bamboo tree, the Chinese bamboo tree, and about how you water the ground and fertilize and nurture it for 5 years where nothing's happening, literally nothing, for 5 years. And then after that 5 years, all of a sudden the bamboo sprouts and it grows 90 feet in 6 weeks.
In 5 weeks. Yeah.
5 weeks. And, you know, we talked, he was like, how does that pertain to your life? And how does that change perspective? And so we were having a discussion about it, and it was just so amazing and interesting. But I feel like that sort of, I've just sort of been watering the earth and the ground, and like things have been happening to some extent, but I'm just trying to understand. And then my husband with his startup, it was such an analogy for that, where if anyone's had a startup or you're working in a company, especially in my husband's situation, it's different having a startup of I bake cookies, or I'm going to make sourdough bread, or I'm going to make, you know, these iPhone cases. Like when you have a physical product, the nurturing and watering part is pretty short, because then you start to sell your product and see things happening. My husband's startup is in the biotech space, so it's very different. Like the consumer is companies. They're not, you know, average people, and you have to do testing and research and development and get patents, and it's just like a very slow process. And so that's how it feels, is like he's been watering it for so long and it was so, so hard. And you're like, does this even doing anything? Is there even anything under the surface? And then all of a sudden, you know, it starts to sprout. And I do believe it's just going to grow exponentially fast in like a crazy way, just like a bamboo tree. And that has been really helpful. But it's also brought in the ability for me to like reevaluate what it is that I'm doing, because it's been, you know, a while that we've been in this season of just nurturing this company. And now I'm able to kind of pull back a little bit more and not feel like I'm as front and center in the workspace. But then that makes me ask questions like, what is it that I want? Because sometimes I want to spend more time with my kids and be able to pull back a little bit more. But also I love my work and the women that I get to support. And so that's sort of the season I've been in of who am I and what's happening and how do I show up and how do I impact that tree, right? As mm-hmm. powerfully as I can, you know, do I focus on the berries? Do I see more patients one-on-one and just try to focus on all these little berries? Do I pull back and like write a book or focus more on my membership and work deeper into that root of the tree? And how do I do that? Just being a working mom it just has stuff, right? And I don't think I'd be completely fulfilled without some of, you know, work outside of being a mother. But I also don't want to work my life away and look back and be like, wow, I can't believe that I wasn't with my kids more. So I'm constantly reevaluating that every single day. I'm like, are the decisions that I'm making, is everything I'm doing in alignment with this new version of myself, this new manifested version of myself, my white SUV mom version of myself, of who I'm becoming, which I teach in my course inside of my membership, Womanhood Wellness. I have a course all about manifesting and creating your dream life called The Dream Life Formula, and I teach this. I actually re-listened to that course when we were on a drive recently because I needed the motivation. I was like, wow, that's actually really good. It's a really good course. I'm like, wow. Sometimes I feel like I black out when I teach, and that just like flows through me, and then I'm like, wow, I need to like re-listen to that. But it was really helpful. And so, yeah, that's sort of – I've had like really high highs and really low lows the last few weeks. You know, there was a moment that I thought I had postpartum depression again, and not that I ever really had it. That was the weird thing. I called you. I was like, can you get postpartum depression starting at 18 months? Because right. I don't even think that's considered postpartum, but I was just, you know, I was struggling. I was feeling a lot, and it was heavy, and I had a hard time accessing joy, which is not typical for me. But it's starting to get better.
Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? This is why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight by Redmond's, the real salt people. A USA-made electrolyte powder with unrefined sea salt, over 60 trace minerals, plus bioavailable forms of potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These minerals support hormones, hydration, energy, and overall health. The best part is they taste delicious. I'm really picky about how things taste, and so you can rest assured this is Dr. Leah approved. I love lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan is a strawberry lemonade gal. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off your order of electrolytes, real sea salt, natural toothpaste, and so much more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Happy hydrating on your womanhood and fertility journey.
It's hard, like, when there's so much work put into things and then you don't see the fruits of your labor, you know, yes. Like, and it, like, I know, yeah, the Chinese bamboo tree analogy was so cool to see in like an inspiring way, but man, like that grind is really rough. Like it's,
yeah.
Even just with this podcast, like, mm-hmm. you know, we get so much feedback now. I don't actually even know where our numbers are like how much has it grown? I don't know. I don't know. We should, I know Audrey gives us really good reports, but I haven't like looked at it or compare. I need to kind of be like, oh wow. Yeah. Has it grown in these different ways? And I think I used to be a lot more, maybe both of us, I don't want to speak for you though, if you weren't, but I used to be a lot more focused on that number. And now it does feel better to be in this place, which is just sort of like, I love it. I know you love it too. And I think we're just going to keep doing it, even if it's nothing. But we did have an expectation of it becoming bigger quicker. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, how much work. Because sometimes you see things. You see people who have these like really quick advances in their following or their growth, their popularity, their numbers, their subscribers, their whatever. And unfortunately, the world we live in now, if that is the method through which you're doing your marketing or you're making your money like we are, you know, funneling people into online stuff, how old do you find those people if you don't have social media or a podcast and different things like that? And we both really like to educate and just talk and stuff. So we're just going to keep doing it no matter what. But it's like, wow, I did think that like, because I think our content's really good. And I know you do too. And it's like, we just need people to find it. And then I think once they start listening, then they're going to like it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's okay too. Because, you know, you don't want to, we want to try to find our people and not, it's not going to apply to everybody. And we also are not going to use those like divisive tactics that a lot of podcasts use to only talk about really inflammatory things and say crazy things that are going to have clickbaity clips and whatever. Like, it's just not, it's not us. It's not the way that we want to work. And we really want to talk about, actually we're doing the exact opposite, which is to say, hey, this side over here is true, but also this side over here is true. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about like the Venn diagram overlap piece of where they're both true. Like a lot of people don't really want to hear that necessarily.
I know, but that's the truth.
But it's true. And it's, yeah. And actually they do want to hear it. I think it's just that it doesn't make for a clickbaity.
Yes,
oh, they do. I have people, to listen to what those girls said.
People want to hear it. It needs to be talked about. It's just not what is, it's not the dopamine hit.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But dopamine hits are also not health, right? Like taking a dopamine hit of sugar or, you know, crazy things is not actually sustainable health. I feel like sustainable health isn't very exciting.
Yeah. But you know, maybe we're, maybe we're more like the oxytocin. We're kind of like the, like it, it feels good in a different kind of way because they're like, oh, wow. Yeah. That makes sense. A lot of sense. Those are the thoughts I've been thinking about this. Or, oh, I can see now how my neighbor or my sister or my whoever has that other differing opinion and where they're coming from in this, and then whatever, you know, that's kind of like our goal.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make for like a flashy.
It doesn't make for quick growth, quick, you know, get rich quick. Not that we do this to get rich, but like that mentality of just, you know, things that are moving fast. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I've been down is I'm like, okay, I'm putting all this effort out. I spend time away from my kids. Is it worth it? You know, it would be like if you left your children for a couple hours every day to go water the dirt.
Yeah.
And there's nothing happening. And everyone's like, what are you doing? You know, and you're like, I don't know. I guess I just have to keep doing this for a really long time. And one day, I guess something's going to sprout out and grow really fast. You know, that's sort of been my husband and I's whole life because of our infertility journey. It felt the same way. With infertility, it feels like you're watering the dirt and you're putting so much effort out, so many things that you still have not reaped, you know, the rewards of that effort. And it can be really hard to keep going. And it can be really hard to think this is worth it. This is going to turn into something. And it's easy once you have, you know, once your bamboo has sprouted, as the analogy would be like having a baby, like in our situation, it's easy to look back and be like, you can do it, keep going, like it's going to happen. But when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel that way. And so work, to me, like everyone has their growth edge, right? I believe we come here as souls to learn and grow. And that there is no easy route. We can love our life and be grateful for it and find happiness and joy even in the struggle, but no one comes here without struggle. There will not be any person that does not have some thing that challenges them, in my opinion. It's just that comes in different containers. For some people, it's a health issue. For some people, it's a parenting issue. Maybe it's their parents or a person in their life, or it's a work thing or a friend thing, a relationship thing. Maybe it's a personal, you know, development. Maybe it's with addiction, like whatever. Like everyone has their growth edge. we've talked about this, like, I feel like for you, parenting and like just parenting in general is more of a growth edge. For me, business tends to be the thing. I mean, for infertility for sure was a huge growth edge for me. It like brought me closer to just myself, and it is what made me pursue therapy and pursue, you know, the dark night of the soul growth stuff. But business is that other piece that isn't for some people. You know, I look at other people, and this is where they say comparison is the root of all evil. When I look at some people, just like maybe someone does who gets pregnant on the first try, you know, okay, you just get pregnant. That's so unfair. But then how could we say, well, maybe that's not their growth edge. Maybe that's not their growth container. Maybe my growth container is this practice of surrendering and working really hard every single day, watering the dirt, you know, trying all of the things, because with that, it builds character. It builds, or I don't even think it builds character. I feel like things chisel away. I feel like we are like the core that has a shell, like a plaster shell around us, and that hardship chisels that shell away to reveal more of who we really are.
Oh my God. Is it, I was going to say Michelangelo. It's not Michelangelo. Who is the famous sculptor?
Maybe. I don't know.
Michelangelo? Oh Maybe. My gosh.
Yeah. I was telling this to my sister the other day. It's like, I actually don't think that hard things build character. I think we are who we are.
It is. It is Michelangelo. Wow. Look at me.
Is it? Yeah. And that hard stuff chisels away that outer shell to reveal more of who we are. Which is why some people, when, you know, put in the same hardship situation, they handle it differently, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like every person who has this hardship becomes like an inspirational speaker who goes and changes the world. You know, like everyone handles things differently. But I just think it's a beautiful thing. It's hard to hear that in the moment when you're struggling. But I have acknowledged like relationships are not my growth edge. You know, I tend for the most part to not have struggle in that department of my life, which I'm very grateful for. And my husband as well. Like, that's just not where it is. For business it is, and for becoming a mother it is. And so, yeah, that's just, I'm just sitting deep in my growth containers of what is next? Like, what is this next lesson that I'm meant to learn? And that's kind of where I'm at from like a logistical perspective. My son has still been struggling with sleep a little bit. He was better last night. I came home. I had Good. Nursed him. We left for Redmond for almost 3 days. And that was the first time he'd been away from me and not nursing ever. He's 18 months. And that was tricky. The pumping whole situation. If you guys watched it. Okay. Morgan does not approve of my pumping.
The amount of feedback of comments that I got back on that was so funny. You guys, Leah pumps one boob at a time. Doesn't even own another flange or set of tubing or anything to connect to the pump, and just like sits there. Although you sometimes would put the hawk on the other side. You are making so much milk still, Leah. Like,
no.
So he is drinking so much.
I know, but it's probably why he's not sleeping well, because he doesn't eat a lot of solids because he nurses all the time, which I didn't realize how much he was getting. And so it satiates him in the moment, but not long term. But last night, I mean, he's been eating solid since I've been gone. Mike's not been giving him breast milk, which I'm like, okay, whatever. But he nursed last night. He slept through the night, which was amazing. He's having a language leap. He's starting to say things, which is so cute. And I'm like obsessed with him, but he's also sort of a terrorist. And I'm just like, oh, it's just, it's a hard season. This is being a parent, you know, it's just, it's so sweet. They're so cute. It's also so hard at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just, the unpredictability of children and the phases that they go through while also trying to work, I find challenging.
Yeah, because there's not, you can't have that consistency of anything. And it's like, it's just, if you ever...
Even just consistency of routine of, okay, I get up every day and work out or do this. It's like, no, it's different every single day because the child is so different every day and you can't control them. And I feel the people who are used to control, which we've talked about, you and I are similar in that way, have the hardest time in parenthood because we are so used to getting whatever we want and doing that kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. My daughter is so cute. She's the sweetest thing. She's so mature. I literally just recorded. She didn't know, but I put on my voice memo and recorded her because we were in her chateau. That's what we call her little area under the stairs with her toys. And she's reading me this angel book. So she can't read, but she's pretending to read. She's pretending to be my mom, and I'm her daughter. And so she's reading me these angel books about God, and like she's saying the sweetest things about the guardian angels and how they watch over you, and the heart of like God can see things that we don't see and that they're in our hearts. And she's like going on and on. I recorded the whole thing. It was the sweetest thing. I'm just like, who are you? I feel like you're wiser than anyone I've ever met. Like
she's just that's so sweet.
So sweet. And you know, we pray every night before bed, but I feel like a lot of this is inherent in her. You know, like I don't necessarily say a lot of that to her all the time, you know. I mean, she picks up on it here and there, but she's just so sweet. So that's really sweet. My personal life with my husband is going very well.
Good.
You know.
And like, you're working out a lot and you're looking awesome. Not that you didn't look awesome before, but I just know how hard you're working on getting your ab strength back and, you know, post C-section and just feeling like it's taken a really long time, but you look awesome. Like I can see your obliques and your cute little crop tops. Yes. And I just have to say kudos to you and your cute new style of being a white SUV mom. Like I really recognize all the things that you're doing.
Oh my gosh.
Very cute.
Thank you. Well, that's how like the dream life formula works. You know, like I do what I teach. Like I practice what I preach. So when I teach in that class, you know, what your dream life is, who that person is. So, you know, it's what is your dream? And then who is the person in that dream? Who does that person have to become to hold that dream, to hold that life that you're imagining? You have to change your identity and you have to change who you are. And it starts with knowing who that person is and then taking steps every day to become that. So in the morning when I wake up, I imagine literally my husband selling his startup and, you know, we're doing very well financially. I'm a white SUV mom. Like there's no stress. I'm like, what do I wear? How do I act? What do I do? And I teach this to my fertility patients. I'm like, imagine you are pregnant. You stand up that morning walking with the pregnant belly. How do you talk to yourself? What do you eat? What do you say no to? What do you say yes to? What actions do you take? Because as soon as someone's pregnant, it all changes, right? Because your identity changed. Your identity is now I'm a pregnant person. But you can change that identity before you become pregnant, and you're basically practicing. You're practicing for the role that you want, and it's powerful. And what happens is your cells respond to that, your neuroplasticity changes, and things rearrange in your environment that make it happen because you're basically saying, this is who I am now. And then things rearrange to make it happen. It's powerful. It's like magic. It's so cool. So I appreciate you recognizing that because I do work on it really hard.
You're doing great with that.
Thank you. But that's my update. And yeah, kind of like positive and flux. Heavy stuff. But
it's like a lot of flux. And being in a transition sucks always, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. We are definitely in a transition of like now my husband's working a lot more because he's funded. And so then my role of me working so much more has to shift. And then I'm like, what does that mean? Cause I can't see as many patients. I can't do all these things. And so, yeah, it's like a whole ripple effect, but overall it's positive.
Good. Okay. And it's going to be continuing to just go more positive. And then you can kind of like lean back a little bit from working so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It is your turn. Tell us what's going on with you.
Okay. So I feel like mine are actually, I was kind of outlining it a little bit in my head and it's actually not, I'll just be completely honest. Like this pregnancy has not been kind of what I thought it was going to be. And it was in the beginning, I guess. But then in the last like 2 months, it's been incredibly hard in like a lot of different ways. I'm going to try not to cry, but I probably will. Like not because of me and my health and the baby. Well, actually a little bit of health stuff, like weird health stuff, but just like stuff around me going on in my personal life, you know? But let's just start back up. I was having some pain, you know, like I'm very lucky in pregnancy where, you know, I have classic first trimester nausea and a little bit of puking in the first trimester, but then it's like, you know, overall it's not bad. And I really love being pregnant. I did have some hip stuff and I was having weird bee sting reactions, but I did get a full body bee suit and I'm pretty much, I have to go out there tomorrow, either today or tomorrow, but I don't think I have to go back out there again at any point in the pregnancy.
Like people maybe don't know this.
I got stung by the bees, which like happens, you know? So I have a bee suit that goes, that's like a torso and head and gloves. And then I wear thick sweatpants and I wear thick socks and tennis shoes. And it like had not been a problem. But they got really, really mad one time a couple months ago. It's been now. And it was my fault. They were just like, they were all on the underside of this one frame that I had laying in the grass. And so I went to pick it up to take back to my house. And I didn't realize how many bees were still on it on the underside. And I was like, you guys, I was like all annoyed. So I just let it, I let the frame like go up and apex over and then just slam on the ground on the opposite side so that like now the bees were on the facing upside and they would fly away. But instead of flying away, they went like from the frame to my body, like immediately to attack me because they were like mad. And yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I should have been more gentle. And that my bee mentor is a guy named Brian, who's like such an angel. He's so patient with me and he lives like down the street from us. And he just laughs at the things that I say because I'm like, I'm such a menace, I think, probably as a bee mentee. Like, you know, he'll tell me to do, and I'm doing the best that I can fitting all this stuff in my schedule, but it's just a little bit tricky with bees. Like if it's too hot or if it's raining or if it's windy or if it's overcast, like you kind of don't want to go in these different particular situations. And so I'm learning all of that. And I'm also learning to just be gentler on the frames because, and he's so good at it, but you also have to be really strong. There's a strength in like grip strength and handling and managing the tools. And you're in these like funky gloves. And so anyway, I've just like made many mistakes and he's really nice the way that he has been. But anyways, I got stung a lot in my ankle, like 3 or 4 times in my ankle and a couple in my butt in that one instance. And I think it's probably because I'm pregnant. I'm having these, they're called large localized reactions. It's basically like, it's like a big welt forms underneath your skin, like as if you got hit by a baseball or something like that. Like it's a huge swelling. And it takes days to peak in its intensity. So it's like it gets worse and worse and worse over the course of the first like 3 days. And then it starts to go back down. And it's extremely itchy. And there was a ton of swelling. And because it was in my ankle, the joint space there, it was so painful to walk. And it happened to line up with my husband being out of town that week. So I was like trying to do everything. I'm like pregnant. I'm taking my kids to school. I'm following Sunday around. I'm doing da-da-da-da. And she was also at this time, because this was a couple months ago, like in a really bad, just like phase. I don't know. She was just hard for like 10 weeks and she was sick and teething and sleeping and da da da, all the stuff. So that I'm just like, that's a memory that's going to stick out to me because it was really, really challenging and difficult. Like I would put my foot up like a leg up against the wall kind of thing because trying to keep it elevated. And I was icing it and stuff, trying so hard not to itch it. But oh my God, it's like in fear. It's like crazy making itching. That. And yeah, like, you know, whole sulfur itch. And homeopathic histamine. I'm like, nothing was really touching it working. I should have put the bentonite clay, the Redmond clay on it because that would have probably been, I just didn't think about it in the moment. But anyway, yeah. Then I would put my leg down to stand up to do something. And I could feel the edema. Like I could feel the fluid, the lymph and stuff infiltrating back into my ankle. Like it would be, you know, a few minutes of relief. And then when I put my foot back down, and that gives me like, first of all, the heebie-jeebies, like that kind of thing is so gross to me. But second of all, then it was just so painful again. So it took like 6 days for that to fully heal. And then it happened again in my knee. As we're talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share an underrated tip with you. That tip is to continue taking your prenatal. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's life. Many women stop taking their prenatal after birth, but we recommend taking it for at least the first 9 months postpartum or the entirety of the time that you're breastfeeding. My favorite prenatal is Needed's Prenatal Multi, and it's the most robust formula that I've seen in the market. It contains bioavailable nutrients in their evidence-based dosages, well above the bare minimum that a lot of prenatals settle for. Their quality standards are top tier with transparent third-party testing and over 10,000 practitioners now recommending the brand. And now we have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study that confirm the results of what we've been seeing clinically. Women who take the prenatal multi have significantly higher blood levels of critical nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum. This includes vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, vitamin K2. Only women in the Needed group reach the adequate, sufficient levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a big role in your immune health, your mood, and your energy production, all things that are really important during your postpartum season. And while there's many different ways that you can support yourself postpartum, continuing to take your prenatal is a really simple, easy way to cover all your bases. It's one of the most impactful habits that we can have, and Needed makes it easy. Learn more about the study at thisisneeded.com/thrive and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Yes, healthy mother, like a little affirmation for yourself. About 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I was like, I am not dealing with this again. I cannot believe that it was in my knee, like again, a joint. Because the spots that I got on my butt were, they were big and they were hard and itchy, but it wasn't a fraction of the pain because it wasn't in a joint. So I didn't really care. Like the ones in my butt, I was like, whatever. So if I get stung anywhere else besides a joint, I don't care. But so this one on my knee, I was like, I cannot do this again. So I took a Claritin, like an antihistamine, which there are some in pregnancy that you can take. And that's the other thing is like, I'll get there, I guess, but I've taken like a couple of different medications in this pregnancy that I've never taken before. Like I took an early Tylenol when I had that bronchitis thing and I had a fever right when it was implanting. And then now I've taken this Claritin and then I had to take Tylenol again about a couple of weeks later. And I'll tell you about that in a second. And that shouldn't maybe seem like a big deal for some people, but it is to me. And so I'm just kind of like, wow, I'm like really just trying to take my life and do what I need to do. But I am so happy I did it, honestly. And if I get stung again in this pregnancy, I'm going to do it again because it cut my, I basically only swelled for like 2 days and then it immediately went back down. It reached only like a 3 out of 10 of what it was in my ankle. It was only, I will say, it was only one sting in my knee, whereas in my ankle, it was like 4. So there was that too, the venom lobe. Anyway, whatever. So there's been like some weird stuff like that. But okay, then the next time that I had to use, when I had to use Tylenol, I thought I had a clogged salivary duct. This is going to sound really gross to some people. So just so you guys know.
Trigger warning.
And I just didn't even know that this was a thing. So I learned a lot in this setting. And I also had a really healing, beautiful experience with my doctor too. So I wanted to share this. Basically, really long story short, my husband gets canker sores, HSV-1, herpes simplex virus 1. Normal. A lot of people get a lot of, you know, cold sores, whatever. They're very, very contagious. We've been together for 13 years. He gets probably 1 or 2 a year. I have never gotten one, which is kind of weird because I'm like used to be Mrs. Viral, right? Like that was my MO. And I kind of figured my body had been exposed to it, but it just never really... And my mom gets them sometimes too. Like, you know, there's people who get them and I'm just like, oh, especially those types of people in my life, I thought for sure. And I probably was exposed. I had just never had my primary expression. And when you have your primary expression and you happen to be pregnant, it does not become sometimes, I guess it can become this much bigger deal, which is not just like one spot that's, you know, painful and kind of like gets crusty and stuff on your lip. It became for me, I thought it was a salivary duct. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And it became for me, it's called herpetic gingivostomatitis. And it's basically canker sores. So like that virus can manifest as ulcers in the mouth, like canker sores, or it can manifest as this like growth on the outside of your lip. Like for me, I had like 35 canker sores all over my gums and tongue. I didn't ever really even talk about this when it happened because when it was happening, it was so painful. And then like one thing led into the next thing, into the next thing. And this is where I'm feeling very overwhelmed in my pregnancy right now. And I will talk about this, but it's basically like on a Wednesday, I started feeling symptoms. I thought I was getting you sick actually, because we saw each other at hip hop. Thought I was getting COVID or the flu. I started having chills and I was getting a fever and I was like, oh no. And I felt so lucky because we made it through this winter without getting influenza A or B. And like, you know, they were really bad this year for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's like knock on wood. Like we never got it. And I was really excited because I was pregnant and I just didn't want to deal with that. You know, anyway. So I was like, shoot, am I getting it now? Like no one I've been, I was racking my brain. No one I've been around has been sick, but then my tongue was hurting and I had a swollen lymph node. Anyway, as it progressed into Thursday and then Friday morning, I was like complete. My tongue was looking so insane. The pain in my mouth was crazy. I could not eat or drink without pain. I was just drinking smoothies and it didn't let up until like Monday. So all through that whole weekend, I was just drinking smoothies, kind of freaking out about my protein intake and just being like, this baby's going to be okay. Like sometimes things happen, like really trying to calm myself down about it, but feeling really badly. And I was also worried that it was CMV, cytomegalovirus, which if you get your first expression of cytomegalovirus in the first trimester, it can cause birth defects. I know that I have antibodies for cytomegalovirus. I've seen them on a panel before when I did all my Lyme testing. So that wasn't the case for me. It wasn't my primary expression. And I was in my third trimester when this is happening. So it's like the chances of it affecting the baby are low, but I was just beside myself. I could not stop bawling. I was so scared because I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand what it was. And if you don't know what it is, how are you going to treat it? Yeah. It's like nothing I've ever experienced before. And so anyway, I did have to take Tylenol at some point in that process because I was like, I can't have a 101 fever. Like I'm not doing this, you know? So, and it didn't even really work. I don't know. And it didn't take away any of my pain. So that was kind of annoying, but I tried. Anyways, I contacted my doctor, and she is an absolute earth angel. And I really felt guilty about pushing the boundaries of our relationship because it was a Friday. She wasn't even working. But sometimes, like, people just show up in ways when you really need them. And I think that is going to make me cry because it was exactly what I needed. I knew if I went to urgent care or if I went somewhere else, they weren't going to understand, like, me and my particular body. Cause I was like, is this a Lyme thing again? Is this EBV? My neck was completely visibly swollen with lymph nodes and just big, huge, knotty lymph nodes, like, everywhere. And I was just like, what the heck is going on? And is this going to affect my baby? And it's like, I just knew no one else was going to be able to help me really besides her. And she has this machine too, which she uses, which I know sounds totally woo-woo and bonkers, bananas, crazy, but it's not. It's so cool. I don't know how else to tell you guys. You're just going to have to trust me on that one. But it was like a very lucky, serendipitous moment. I kept feeling this intuitive pull too. It wasn't even just my wish and want, but it was like, call them, see if they can. So I called and I was just like, hey, because I didn't know it was her day off. So I was like, is there any chance that she happens to be available today for like a cancellation or something? They're like, oh, actually she's not even in the office today. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Bye. Like, whatever. So I worked up the courage to text her and she called me back immediately and was just like nothing but helpful. And so she met me at her office. She treated me for like an hour and a half. She gave me all of these different things. She diagnosed it as HSV-1 because even on the phone, and I was explaining it to her, she was like, that does kind of sound like cytomegalovirus, or it kind of sounds like HSV-1. And I was like, oh my God, my husband has a canker or a cold sore right now.
Yeah.
Cause we had just gotten back from a wedding, which was so fun, but you know, travel is just inherently stressful, but the wedding was like extremely fun. So it's like, we got back from the wedding that Wednesday, started having symptoms. This is on a Friday now. She just made me feel so like loved and cared for. And, like, it's going to be okay. She gave me a couple of bags to get an IV set up to over the weekend with one of our friends who can come in home and set up an IV. And so it was really like, I don't know. I just have not had an experience like that before where I really, really, truly acutely in that moment really needed help, but it was very difficult to ask for. And she was so happy. She was like, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy you called me. She was just like, so sweet the whole time. So anyway, I was like, wow. Okay. Big learning lesson. I had no idea that this could happen in pregnancy. Makes sense. You're immunocompromised. It's just like a different presentation. It's also very like me, sad to say it, like old me. I want to say it's old me. Like, I'm like not identifying with that anymore, but it's also just very me for this kind of a viral thing to happen. Like, so, and, oh yeah. And it was a recurrence of my EBV was kind of, or not a recurrence, but like a flare of EBV was coming back as well, which she helped to diagnose on the machine. So, oh, and that's the other thing. I got on Valtrex. So that's another medication. Mm-hmm. So I called in some Valtrex for myself and it's like acyclovir, valacyclovir. Mm-hmm. They're very, very effective and they are safe in pregnancy. And so it's like the viral replication of herpetic viruses is really nuts. There's a lot of more herpetic viruses besides just, you know, genital or oral herpes. Just so you guys know, like there's a lot of them and there are a lot of childhood diseases too. Like even, like, what is it, like slap cheek? Like, you know, there's a couple of those other ones that are like HSV-4 and 5, like different numbers. But yeah, so I got on that and a bunch of different herbs and different things. And so I started to feel better by like Sunday, but that next day, Saturday, was my daughter's hip hop recital. And my sister-in-law was in labor and I was her doula. And I was just like, I cannot. And I didn't really like, it was just like everything happening all at the same time. You know, these girls have been working on this dance routine since January and it's been like the thing between them and I. Like, I've taken them all to the practices. I've helped them with all of their additional practicing and like pumping them up and answering their questions and getting them ready and getting all the pictures done and getting the outfits done and putting the makeup on and all the doing the different stuff. And I really, really wanted to be there for the recital. And I know that sounds like dumb. It's like a 5 and a 7-year-old, but I.
No, it's not dumb.
It's just like, yeah, it was, it's, I love that kind of thing. Like being so proud of your kids, you know, and like they worked so hard and they really wanted me to be there. And I had decided on Saturday, like, I'll see how it goes. And maybe I can just go and I'll sit. Cause all my body stuff was better. It was only if I like ate or talked. So I was like, I'm just not going to talk to anybody, but I'll sit there and I'll clap and like, I'll be, you know, but then this even more monumentous, amazing,
important experience was going on, which was my sister-in-law on my property was having her baby. And it was like kind of confusing to me. Like we were texting about it. She was having some contractions. I did not realize exactly what was going on. And so we got the girls ready for their recital. And then immediately after that, can you please close the door? Thank you. Immediately after that, I was like, oh, I'm going to go check on Andrea because she kind of hadn't texted me for a couple of hours. She was having some back labor and I was telling her some different things and I would have been more involved and I feel guilty about this. It's like, but you can only do what you can do. And I think like there's a lesson for me in this pregnancy that's that, which is like, I can only do what I can do. And that means like saying no more or like making sacrifices that I don't necessarily want to make. Because in my normal state, I'm very high functioning, like, and I love to do it. And I like love it. It fills me. It brings me so much joy. It doesn't stress me out. It doesn't cause me problems. Sometimes people, it is that way for them. They don't like to have a busy schedule. It's like they wig out about it. I don't. I like that. I thrive off that. And I just like have not been able to do that as well this pregnancy. And, you know, it bums me out. But anyways, it's like, okay, I was not like sick. If I was going to make out with her, obviously it would be contagious or drink from her drink, but it's like in my mouth, it's like contained. It's in my mouth. I was also only sick labor for, you know, a day at that point at least. And so, I go over to check on her and she's like in the tub moaning, eyes are kind of rolled in the back of their head. I was like, oh my. So Wes went with the girls initially to their thing. And my dad was going to come pick me up and he was going to drive me out there. Cause they had to be early for the rehearsal. So I'm sitting there for like half an hour watching Andrea have these contractions. And it's like every 4 minutes, every 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, we're calling the midwife. So I call the midwife. They have some app. It was actually so cool where they could both see each other's, like her. So Andrea's mom, Linda, was doing the contraction timer app and her midwife was getting that data on her phone. Whoa. So by the time I called her, she's like, I'm already in the truck. I'm coming. I was like, okay, good. Get here. Cause this is happening. Like all of a sudden out of nowhere, I was like, oh my gosh. So I like run back to my house. I grab my doula bag. I like talk to my family. I'm like, okay, you guys, I think she's having this baby like right now. I don't know. Like when my dad gets here, I'm talking to my nanny. Cause she was there to watch Sunday. Cause there was no way on this beautiful green earth that we were going to take Sunday to that recital. She would have ruined it for everyone. It's like, she's just the craziest little girl in the whole world. Anyway, I love her, but holy crap. I'm like hoping that this next baby is a little bit calmer. So anyway, my summer, our nanny Summer's there. And I'm like, the other thing, Summer moved in to our house this weekend. She moved into Laurel's casita, my mother-in-law's casita. And we're doing a trade for childcare. And it's like such a blessing. It's an amazing thing. But it was just like, there was all this other coordination going on with the air conditioning unit of that casita stopped working. So and for some reason I was the head person and organizing all of this. So I'm like texting the HVAC guy and I'm like getting everything done and da da da. And it's like, God. She's trying to get in there and it's like hot. And so then Wes is moving the window unit in, and anyway, whatever. So I like run back to my house, I get the stuff. I tell Summer, I'm like, when my dad gets here, just tell him that I'm trying to figure out if I'm coming to this recital or not. Cause I don't think so. I think she's having this baby right now. And so, which is obviously way more important. And there was a piece of me that was bummed, but it was like 5 second piece of me because I was like, there's no comparison here. Like somebody's bringing a baby into the world, like the 5 and 7 year old hip hop. Like, okay. I did mourn it earlier though. When I was like, am I just not going because my mouth hurts, you know, but anyway, it all put it in perspective. So I come back to the house and by the time I came back to the house, I literally have been gone like 8 minutes. She's making pushing sounds. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So we're like all in there. We have the kids in there. And then it was like, I mean, we thought this baby is coming out like right now. She's pushing. She's a third time mom. Yes. There was a 10-year gap between her next youngest kid, but her births have been very easy, like streamline vaginal births. And so this was her first home birth. But it was all just like going really smoothly, but she was feeling everything in her back still. And I was like, oh crap. Okay. Like, you know, whatever. And she proceeded to push for 3.5 hours and did every which way thing possible underneath the sun. And it was just like, wow. We tried everything. That baby was the most stuck baby. And that happens sometimes. and it's confusing. And sometimes he would move. He would rotate and move, and then he would immediately fall back into this like pocket of her uterus and her body and the way that it was shaped. And just, I mean, we would do these things, and she, like, the midwife would be physically, manually turning his head and rotating him off her pubic bone. And she'd have a couple of good pushes, and he would move down a tiny, tiny bit, and then it would stop, you know. And it's like she had contractions every 3 minutes for 3.5 hours, pushing as hard as she possibly could, doing all of the positions that we did and could. And I was texting Ann Gilligan about Gilligan's Guide stuff, but I do think I didn't end up having her do the entire from the beginning Gilligan's Guide, but we did some of the bits and pieces. I think he was at that point so lodged, so stuck, it just wasn't happening. So they made the decision to transfer to the hospital. She needed to have a relief and a break of this back labor. Mm-hmm. And she was just getting exhausted. She didn't sleep the night prior because she'd been having contractions. And, you know, this is what this is how it goes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good decision, I thought. She went to the hospital. She got an epidural. She rested a little bit, but she didn't even like it. Sometimes epidurals like really perk you back up. Like they just, mm-hmm. boom, you don't even feel like you really need to rest that much. Sometimes people do, but sometimes they don't. And the midwife then at the hospital got like really up there, like really trying to push this baby back and off this pubic bone, because it was just, he was like so stuck on it. She continued to push for another 2 hours. And when he was born, the top of his head, it was, you know, all crowning of babies looks nuts, but it's usually at the back. It's like at that smallest point of the back of their head. He, mm-hmm. it was like he wasn't, his chin wasn't tucked basically. So that type of the crowning was on the very, very top of his head, and it was extremely bruised. They did not do any kind of vacuum or forceps or anything like that. And there wasn't even really talk of C-section. It was just like, this is going to be a long, slow thing. They were all really supportive. She had a great experience in the hospital at St. Luke's Nampa with the midwives and stuff. There actually was some doctor that had come in initially who was talking about episiotomy and C-section, and the home birth midwife that Andrea had got in her face and was like looking at her like with wide eyes and was like, do you want a request for a midwife? Like you do, you know? Yeah, and so she was like, totally. Yeah, can I request a midwife please instead of this OB? So they switched them out. Like you can do that too. I tell all the details of this story because there's ways to navigate it for yourself that are going to be great. And she really had a great experience. Like it was disheartening. It's kind of like, gosh, what did I do? And we talked about it a lot afterwards. I'm like, dude, you did everything you possibly could have this baby. So anyway, he's perfect. His name's Archer. He's so cute. I'm so excited to have another, like, you know, she's not technically related to me because she's my sister-in-law's sister, but like, I just call her my sister-in-law. We live together. It's like, he's my nephew. Like he just is, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a new nephew on the property on Joyfield, which is extremely exciting. But so I did not go to the hospital with them. This was at 9:30 that they were transferring, and the midwife did and the assistant, and they stayed with her until the baby was born. And it was amazing. And I, you know, felt a little bit of like, I probably should, but I was like, no, this is where I know my limitation. I'm pregnant and I'm still healing from this. And I can't really talk anyway. So it's like, how much help am I? But anyway, so that was like a really big tank out of my like energy. And so that was Sunday. He was born Sunday finally. But Saturday night was the night that everything was going down. And then through this whole weekend, my dad was really sick. And I'm going to try to go through this quickly, but he was texting me a little bit here and there. We live like 45 minutes away. And I had seen him on Saturday because he did come to my house to pick up. He just ended up picking up Gage because I obviously didn't go. I was with Andrea. He picked up Gage to go to the recital because it was like a 45 minute away trip in Oregon. And so he said, he's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling all that good, but he looked normal to me. And at some point over the weekend, he completely tanked and nobody really knew what was going on. And he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker, not really coughing, but all the while was brewing a viral pneumonia, which was becoming bacterial pneumonia, which was becoming sepsis. And he was going into diabetic ketoacidosis. So my dad and my half brother are both type 1 diabetics. My dad was diagnosed when he was like actually in his mid 30s. So he was kind of like a late onset. I know it makes me nervous because I'm like, oh, it's like me right now. And then my brother though was like 14, you know, kind of a more classic juvenile onset. My dad had made a couple comments. He's like, my blood sugar is just so high. It's so high. But I didn't really know what that meant. I wasn't asking questions. I should have. I was just not in the headspace. I was trying to like survive. Yeah. Everything was going on. And my parents don't live in this. They're going through a divorce. And so he's alone now. And anyways, he had mentioned the story of falling down to me, and he was very casual about his telling me about the story. And I was like, Dad, go to urgent care like today. Mm-hmm. I thought we were under the understanding that he was going on Tuesday. He did not go Tuesday. So by Tuesday night, I was like, what did the doctor say? He's like, I didn't go. I was like, I was furious. I was like, okay. So Wednesday morning rolls around and I'm like badgering him, texting him, calling him, go to urgent care, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he finally does at like 1 o'clock, takes a sweet time because he wasn't in a normal mental state, because diabetic ketoacidosis is bad shit and you can die just from that. And then he's also having this huge infection going on and it's just contributing to a lot of like cognitive like fog where he's not having clarity to be like, wow, I'm really, really sick. So he goes to the urgent care and they ambulanced him to the emergency room because he was so sick. He spent 3 or 4 nights in ICU, 10 or 11 days in the hospital total. And now he's moved in with us because he's going to be on a long recovery plan of, it's not like he's moved in with us forever. It's just that he can't go back to his house with stairs. He can't go back. He's on oxygen. He's going to be on oxygen for a couple of months. I don't exactly know what the long-term plan is. I'm grateful that I live here because my brothers live in other places. And so I can be helpful. And my mom was extremely helpful with him in the hospital and was there every day. But, you know, I understand their own little thing. It's like, okay, he's coming here. He's not going to go to her house. Like, it just is what it is. So we've moved Gage upstairs. We've moved my dad into Gage's room. Summer had just moved into the casita. Otherwise, it would have been a great place for him to go, but she had just moved in. But actually, it wouldn't be because it's still too far away. Like, I need him in the house so I can monitor him and watch him. So his recovery is just going really slowly, but it's just been like a lot of stuff going on. Simultaneously, during this time, Caper, our puppy, got a cheatgrass thing lodged in her paw and had to have a surgery. And then now we're just sort of realizing that we're dealing with this. Like, she sort of has that same paw. She has like so many big red swollen mounds in her paws from these freaking cheatgrass seeds. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, they look like a foxtail, but they're not. It's just called cheatgrass. And they get this arrowhead shaped seed that is meant to get stuck in animals so it can spread around. I mean, it's smart for the plant, but it sucks to experience. And for some reason on our property this year, we have like fields and acres of them. Like, it's never been this bad before. But you know, this is just the nature of living on ag land, and the weeds are always like changing year to year. Like, which weed are you going to get? We don't know. And this one has been extremely destructive for the dogs. And so now we have this thing where every single night we do a paw check, kind of like a tick check, because it's like, got to get the cheatgrass seeds out of the dog's paws. It's just like one more thing. You know what I mean? And even just sitting on the ground for me, so I'm almost 32 weeks, sitting on the ground and like trying to bend over and grab her paw and like fish out all these little things is like hard. I'm getting to that point in pregnancy where it's like, ugh, it's like there's a watermelon on my belly. Like, I can't really do that. And I'm just feeling really like tired by all of it. Oh, and okay, I found out that I'm extremely anemic. Okay, so ferritin's been a long-term problem for me, but after I treated Lyme, it went up to 25 just like on its own, which was so exciting to me because I do eat a lot of red meat, and it had always been like 7 or 9 or something like that. And I will be honest, I've been very good with my like regular prenatal supplements, but finding time for iron is tricky. And I'll be like, oh, I already took my prenatal, or I just had a yogurt. I eat a lot of dairy. So trying to find a place in my day where I can take iron that I didn't just take my prenatal and I haven't had dairy is tricky. So then I just don't take it. And then the next day I'll take it tomorrow. And then I don't, and then I don't, and then I don't. So anyway, obviously it's come to bite me in the ass because I haven't actually had hemoglobin and hematocrit low for years. Those are normally completely fine for me. It's just my ferritin. My ferritin's 12. So it's not actually as bad as it's been in the past, but I'm just like, mother of pearl. Like, can I just please?
Get a but drink.
I get it too. It's like, well, what do I expect? You know, what do I expect when I'm not taking something that for my body actually is really, really important? So I'll report back on how this goes. I have never done an iron infusion before, but I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. I'm 32 weeks. I want all my numbers up. Low ferritin is associated with postpartum depression and mastitis, two things that I struggle with. That probably there is a component of my low ferritin that's contributed to both of those manifestations in my postpartums in the past. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Yeah. And I know that iron infusions are controversial. They have their ups and downs. But I do not think I have time with oral supplementation on its own. to get it up to where I think that it would be optimal. I will continue, but I was reading a lot of different studies about iron infusions, and the great success rate for a lot of people with increasing ferritin rapidly. And it's really tough to move ferritin sometimes in some people. So anyway, I'll report back on how that goes for me, if it works, and what people think. But yeah, so I've just been kind of like, okay, all right, dealing with this. Okay.
One thing and after another.
What'd you say?
It's like one thing after another. You just can't get the break.
Yeah. And then I'm like trying to be grateful for this pregnancy because, I mean, I know people are going to, they're annoyed, but it is my last pregnancy. It's my last planned pregnancy. Okay. I will not be planning. Wes is going to be 45 in September. Like, you have to be done at some point. And I know people are like, oh, he's manic. You can go much later. I go for it. To each his own, but not for us. We're done. We're like, there could be an accident or something like that because, I mean, that has happened to us. And, it would be great. It would be fine, but it won't be like intentional. So I'm like, okay, this is my last pregnancy. She moves so much. She's so fun. She's so like, I'm connecting with her a little bit more in that way, but I'm also like feeling really nervous. It's all coming so quickly. I'm 32 weeks, like 8 weeks. Like I am not ready for a newborn in 8 weeks, especially if my life continues on the trajectory that it has been in the last little bit where it's just craziness and craziness and craziness. And it's what's frustrating too, is that like, beeped into all of these crazy things have been these really fun things. Like I went on a girls trip to McCall with my like Boise high school girls, who we are just like a big group of sisters. And it was so fun. And it was such a like very emotional, intimate, like loving, we're just really grateful for each other. It was, that was like kind of the vibe of the whole weekend. It was so, whereas sometimes in the past when we get to all together, it's like crazy, like partying fun and whatever. But no, this time it was just like us really reflecting on how much we love each other. And it was really amazing and sweet. And then now you and I just went to Redmond, to Utah, and it was so fun. And it was so, I mean, I know we were both completely blown away, but like, I had no idea, no idea what we were walking into or getting ourselves into. And everybody was just extremely friendly and over the top and treated us so well. But then the production of Redmond Salt is, you kind of have to be invited to go on the mine tours, which makes sense because otherwise it would be like a constant thing. But I do wish everybody could see that at some point because it was the coolest thing to see and to hear how they process it. I mean, they don't. They scrape it off the wall and crush it up, and then they run it through a metal detector to pull out any metals if there is any, and then they just put it in the bottle. And it's like miles and miles of solid salt. There's not dirt. There's no dirt anywhere. There's no dirt on it. There's no dirt anywhere. It is solid salt for, what were we, 700 feet deep?
Yeah.
And then they said that total there's 26 miles or 28 miles of mine that they've already excavated out, but that they have salt for like 150 years, even at the rates that they're excavating it out now. It's like a perfect situation where a sea dried up. It was a very, very salt concentrated sea, like the Dead Sea, but even more salt. It dried up right there. And then there was a volcano that went off at some point somewhere where all this volcanic ash came and laid on the top of the soil so that it created this big clay deposit from the volcanic ash so that rain didn't erode the mine. Like, it's so cool. It's such a like beautiful, perfect. And then the tectonic plates moving together pushed up this one section of the mine. There's probably salt. It's probably even bigger, but all that they can see and have access to just was like pushed it up to the surface. And so they found it in the 50s because these two brothers that were farmers noticed the animals, like it seemed like they were eating the dirt and they were like all around it and they were like licking the dirt and stuff. And then they figured, they were like, oh, that's salt, because it literally had pushed it up all the way to the surface. So they had a drought one year and they were like not making as much on their cattle and things because they couldn't grow the grass and blah, blah, blah. So then they decided, these two brothers, okay, well, why don't we just like dig out some of the salt and we'll sell that to make it through this year. And that's literally the beginning of Redmond Salt. Is like, they just so kept going. Cool. And it was just so cool. And like you said about the CEO, we're going to have him on the podcast because what an interesting guy, like what a very brilliant mind in all kinds of ways, almost anything that you could normally, you would expect somebody to have like a quote unquote normal or like common thought about. Rhett, I don't actually even know his last name. Rhett has a different perspective on it.
Yeah.
And the way that he runs the company is really seen in that. So that was so much fun though. It was like so awesome to just like putz around town with you and and do yeah. everything like that. But it's like also these things are kind of like, there's just a lot of busyness too, which I wish I wasn't so busy in between so that it felt a little bit calmer overall. But I still have a lot of work goals too that I'm trying to get done because I know I'm not going to be doing anything once a baby's born. So there's a lot going on in my head of my physical life is actually like fine. Like taking care of my dad is not hard. It's just giving him his meds, checking his blood sugar, his O2, like, you know, making him food and stuff. It's not hard. It's like, whatever. And he's not in any kind of like woods anymore. He was. And that was really scary. And I don't think that we all really understood how close to dying he actually was. Mm-hmm. And so now though, we're trying to get him into like a house close to ours, like as soon as possible. And, you know, there's just the logistics of that, of like having an older parent and mm-hmm. when they have these kind of complicated things that are not just only for the pneumonia recovery. Oh yeah. His lung collapsed. I mean, there was a lot of complications that happened in the hospital, but anyway, like not because of the hospital, but because of just how sick he had been. Yeah. But it's like the diabetes aspect of this though is scary because like he's had a couple of low events in the middle of the night while we were gone in Redmond actually. So Wes had and he just like just jumped in and took care of everything. And he's like so capable and amazing, but it's like getting low blood sugar is very scary for a diabetic. Mm-hmm. Obviously rocking high numbers too for several days in the 500s, 600s, you go into diabetic ketoacidosis, not good either, but much, you would choose that over going mm-hmm. too low. And so we're not out of the woods with that. It's all been very difficult to manage because infection changes insulin resistance, and he's been on some steroids. He's off those now, but that changes insulin resistance. So it's like everything that he used to know for how to manage it is not working. And right. it's like, I don't know it. I mean, I'm not him, you know, so I'm learning mm-hmm. all of this different stuff. And anyway, so my update is that I would really like to pray to the universe and to God that things are just smooth sailing and easy yes. until I give birth to this baby. Because I have such a high expectation of it being really hard after she's born. And it feels mm-hmm. like it's been really hard now. And I'm like, okay.
Maybe you'll like, be blessed with an easier postpartum.
I know. I'm definitely down to hold on to that energy and just think to myself, like, maybe it could be really different. Or maybe it'll just be like Savi's. Like Savi's postpartum was so – I still did have to get her released. And like she still had a little bit of breastfeeding issues, but overall it was literally bliss. It was just a little blip on the radar of like 4 days of breastfeeding problems. And then it just kept getting better. And she was gaining so much weight that my mindset was very at ease. Mm-hmm. 'Cause when you have a baby that's struggling to gain weight, it is just the most stressful thing in the entire world. And you're like mm-hmm. trying to figure it out. And then you're in pain, you're feeding them more and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. And yeah, there's so many things, but I am going to try to like hold that in my head of this is how it's going to be. It's going to be really fun. I'm excited to have a summer baby. I've never had a summer baby. It'll be really sweet to be like outside with her, like just mm-hmm. sitting in a chair when she's little and feeling warm and stuff and not being in the winter. So there's so many benefits and positives, but if I'm just being completely honest, it's been like a tidal wave, it feels like a rip current. Like I'm trying to come back and then it's like, boom. And I'm trying to come back and then it's like pulling me out to sea. And I'm handling it as best as I can. But I definitely have had some moments of being like, okay, this is like the most stress that I've felt in a really long time. Like I haven't been like stressed really. And here it is. I can feel it. Like I remember this from school. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I do have a new therapist though, who's been really awesome. I'm super excited about her. My other one was fine too, but she just like works in a very specific type of counseling and therapy, the family systems and the parts work. And this mm-hmm. other lady is like more specific to some other parts of my life that I'm just like getting a lot out of her sessions already.
That's great.
And so I have, and then of course, like I have all my, the friends and the support and then Wes and stuff. So I'm going to be fine. It's going to all be good. It's just that, mm-hmm. It would be nice if like 3 or 4 days in a row could pass without anything like crazy happening.
So we're going to pray for you for.
Thank you.
Peace and calm. Well, we're both in a cluster, but hopefully things will start to improve and we'll have a big positive, happy summer. And I hope everybody listening has the same. And thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Sorry, sometimes it's just kind of like boom, ba-da-boom, boom, boom. But, you know, this is how life goes sometimes. So we like to share. But it's also really therapeutic to just, like, talk about it. For me.
Yeah, this is really for us.
Yeah. They're basically our therapy. Sorry if you don't like it. This has been
Turn it off if you don't like it. It's fine. But awesome.
Anyways, okay. Well, till next time. The next life update that we'll have, I'll probably have a newborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. See ya. Did you guys know that we have a merch store where you can buy Healthy as a Mother products that say Healthy as a Mother, or they say other little motherhood phrases that are fun? We have some sweaters, some mugs, hats, bags, tank tops, a few different things. And we're always sort of adding, dripping new things in there as we come up with different designs. And it's just fun. It's cool. It's kitschy. There's, like, you know, there's a hat that says Fun Mom. And my favorite item is the cropped black sweater that says Healthy as a Mother a couple of different times in a line, because it's the softest material you're ever going to feel in your entire life. So get on it, check it out. The link is in the show notes here. It would be a big support to us in the podcast. And also, it's just kind of a funny little phrase and saying. So go ahead and check that out if you haven't yet.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.